This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Chunky's on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. He's looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber. Visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. Our team includes JP, Bish, Cakes, and EB. That is the foursome. And we got a pilot on the line. Is that the deal?
Yep. He's a helicopter medevac pilot. So he'll have some experience. Maybe he can answer some of our questions. John, good morning. Thanks for calling the show.
Hey, good morning, guys. I just want to say I've been listening to you since you were Knights weekend when I was driving out to Nashville to take that airplane. But I'm a local medevac pilot. I'll tell you off the air where I work, but so I've listened to you guys talk, and I usually think about calling in when anything aviation comes up, but I think this is probably the one I should probably call in for.
So give us some of your expertise. What are your sort of initial, you know, thoughts on the deal?
So we don't really know, but it's probably going to be 100% pilot error. Should not have been flying. Everybody was grounded, and you know, when an agency grounds, like sheriff or police or myself, right, like, don't fly in the fog, trust me. You can't prevent somebody from taking off. So I'm not clear if this is a charter flight or if this is a friend of Kobe's, but it was a single pilot operation, apparently.
Hey, John, can you call from a better phone? Just breaking up, and hold up, let me talk to him.
He's about to go to work.
John, you got to call from a better phone, okay?
Sounding good?
Yeah, it's just choppy.
A little bit better. How many pilots, by the way, helicopter pilots, operate solo? Because we were just wondering, you know, there's nine people on the plane. Like, what if the guy had a heart attack? Nobody else can fly a helicopter?
Mm-hmm. That comes up with my crew quite a bit, actually. A lot. I would say
Hold on, John. Just get him out on better phone. Because it's just a waste of the conversation.
He might have to call us from his landline when he gets to work.
Maybe that's the norm for helicopter pilots. I would want them tested all the time then.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, I never thought that helicopters had multiple pilots.
I know on Magnum PI, TC didn't have somebody else.
Yeah,
right,
I mean,
next
helicopters
to him.
Are only so big. Usually they're probably just going to have one pilot.
Yeah.
One person that can fly.
If the guy has a heart attack, you're doomed.
There's no assistant pilot or co-pilot.
Yeah. I think that's probably not the rule. You know?
I think it'd be easier to, if out of nowhere we were thrust into the situation, I think it'd probably be easier to land a plane than a helicopter.
Well, I don't think it's easy to land either.
Of course it's not easier, but I've probably seen more on TV, more flight simulators.
Oh, seen more on TV.
Your plane would crash so quick.
Oh, so quick that you could like pull like a MacGyver and you could get behind the controls and they could talk you through it.
Well, the only thing you could do is if someone said, all right, push the automatic pilot button.
Right.
All right. So the chopper doesn't have one. Okay. But if the plane hasn't pushed that and you just sit back and let the plane
land
itself. But
I mean, that works for when you're at 35,000 feet. The problem is landing it. You can't just press an autopilot that says land this big son of a bitch.
No, I think you can. With an airplane,
no,
you think you can.
You
no,
can?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think you. I think you could just chill. You could fall asleep.
The computers can land those planes.
Okay. Yeah. I'm pretty sure a modern airplane today.
I believe the stick is easier to operate.
Right.
But have you ever looked in, when you get on an airplane,
right,
have you ever just glanced over to the left and looked at the 9 million lights in there?
Every single time.
So many buttons.
You look in there and you go, oh my God, that is unbelievable.
Yeah.
That looks like a nuclear plant or something.
Right. It's so complicated.
It's the most complicated set of buttons and things that you've ever seen.
That's always part of my routine. The routine is kiss the hand, hit the plane on the right as I go in, and then glance off to the left. And look at the pilot, take whatever I can see of the pilot or the flight attendant,
mm-hmm,
say hello, and then sheepishly head towards
and
16D.
When I deplane, I always, 100% always,
thank him.
Look at the pilot and say, good job. Every single time.
Yeah. I always just say thank you.
Even if they sucked at it. Even if there was a lot of turbulence and it was a hard landing, I just say, good job.
Yeah. Hey, they got you there from point A to point
Absolutely.
B.
My life in their hands.
Yeah. Sometimes I do wonder, like, is that made for TV stuff? Like, let's say a pilot was incapacitated and then you grab the controls, you know, could they talk you down?
I don't know.
Could they talk you down
I'm
and
not
land
saying
it?
That I would be good at it. I don't think anybody would be good at it. I'd have a better shot at doing that than the guy from 24. Remember when he was manipulating the plane with the cables?
I remember
Kiefer Sutherland was doing
that? Jack Bauer?
Yeah.
Jack Bauer? It's been a while since we watched Jack Bauer.
Oh, it's been
Well, I mean, was the most absurd thing I've ever seen.
Like,
Yeah.
It was like working the brakes.
He was working like the hydraulics.
Yeah.
That's funny.
That was a good show for a while.
If John wants to call back, Drabby, can he call back, or are we just done?
No, he's going to call back from a landline a little bit.
Yeah.
He's at work.
Yeah, he was in a hospital. Right. You know how they have spotty perception.
Oh, it's impossible to talk in a hospital.
Yeah.
That's a lot of times I'll go visit someone. Not a lot of times.
Call us back tomorrow.
That horrible time where you have to go to a hospital or something, and you're visiting a friend or family member. And then, you know, a lot of times you just want to be there for a couple hours. But you can't check your phone in the room because it never works.
Yeah, one bar.
Yeah, it's just the worst. So, you know, I find myself constantly leaving just to go check my phone, then come back. Yeah, so I get that.
But getting back to the plane conversation, I know it was very complicated for Kurt Russell to try to land the plane, an executive decision. Mm-hmm. And that movie came out in 1996. I think that was prior to just press a button and the plane will just land itself.
I'm pretty sure, I could be wrong, but we could have another pilot's call in. I'm pretty sure like a modern 737,
they can.
That plane would pretty much do it everything.
Right.
You could fall asleep.
That's great.
But the pilots don't like, my understanding from 25 years of doing it, is they don't like, because they like to fly the plane.
Sure.
But the reason why they're pilots is because they actually like flying.
Right.
So they don't want to let it do autopilot everything. But
I'm pretty sure.
I could be speaking out of my ass.
No.
I'm pretty sure it could take off and land, do the whole nine.
I've got friends who are pilots. They've told me there's like an auto land.
So basically you're telling me getting on an airplane is like a self-checkout or a grocery store at this point.
It's not that different.
It's pretty much along
the same
lines.
That's why you hear stories of pilots falling asleep.
I guess.
They put it on and they just chill.
I'm comfortable with it being autopilot at 35,000 feet. I want my pilot on the stick, takeoff and landing.
Well, Cakes, I think 99% of the chance percent of the time that's what happens.
That's what I want. Right,
I'm just telling you, if both pilots in the cockpit had heart attacks.
Right.
Someone could push a button and the auto land.
Good.
Button,
you know what? Probably could. That's reassuring to me.
Oh. All right. John's calling back, I think, presumably on a hard line. So this would be better.
All right.
John, what's up, buddy?
Yeah, I'm on a landline now.
Okay. So go ahead. Give us your take.
So, yeah, you have to differentiate between what's legal and what's safe.
Right.
So let's say that it's snowing a foot on the roads and somebody says, hey, man, it's not safe to drive. Well, it's still legal for you to get on the road, but it's not safe, right?
Yeah. Okay.
So this is the case here. The pilot was flying legally. The controllers gave him the clearances legally. And by the way, the controllers can't tell the pilot what to do.
Oh, they can't? Okay.
No, they can. That's why they made him wait, though, to get through that airspace because of all the airplane traffic. So once the airplane traffic was clear, they let him go through. The controllers are doing everything correctly, and this is going to end up being 100% a tragic pilot error, which I hate to say happens way too often.
Somebody's sending me a stat here, and John, you're a medevac pilot. You've been doing this presumably for a long time. It says on helicopter crashes and probability, a helicopter pilot with 20 years of experience has an almost 1 in 3 chance of a fatal crash.
Where did you see that?
Somebody's sending me the article right here.
Oh.
I can't say that that's incorrect. I mean, the crews that I fly with and myself, I don't feel that way. We don't feel like what we do is unsafe, but the statistics bear it out. I mean, and this is an example of something that should have never happened. Like, you got a guy like Kobe, he's got his daughter with him, right? And mm-hmm. I've done charter too. I've flown famous people. I can tell you off the air, I've flown medevac, I've flown everything. So it's hard to tell somebody like that, hey, we're just not going to do it today.
Right.
But he would have been totally cool with that, right? It's his daughter. You know, sometimes
all he had to say was it's not safe.
Right. You want to keep everybody
all he had
on,
to say is it's
on
not
board
safe.
Safe. Right.
Correct. And I've done that. I've had to tell people, hey, I know you want to get there, and I'm sorry, but the weather just did not come out the way it was forecast.
Right.
Right.
And we do that daily here at Medevac. When the weather's no good, we just don't go.
But do you, I mean, John, do you have on your
so
plane?
So I'm screwed if I need a Medevac.
Yeah.
I'm screwed.
I'm gonna hope it's not cloudy.
Do you have a system, a terrain system that shows if there are mountains coming you know, ahead? Can you tell if there's terrain issues?
Yes, we have a video display with a map, you know, download that tells us so much distance ahead. Hey, there's terrain 500 feet above you, or there's you know, terrain 200. We also have a radar altimeter that bounces a signal directly underneath us that tells us how high the ground or how low the ground is directly below us. So yeah, we have that.
Mm-hmm. Is the reason that this plane didn't is because it was an older plane?
No. You can outfit any aircraft with any updated system. It's just like you said, Bish, the NTSB lady said, it wasn't required. The NTSB makes a lot of recommendations, but the FAA, being the government agency, right or wrong, you know, they don't want to overly burden people with things that they may not need. But, you know, you have a lot of not dead people. What would have this saved that accident? In my professional opinion, probably not, because I just don't know, but it could have helped, put it that way. So,
how much training did you do to become a helicopter pilot?
Oh man, well, you get a license and then you have to find a job. So, when I took this job, I had 1,500 hours is usually what you need to have. You have to have an instrument rating. You have to have obviously a commercial pilot's license. I have a lot of airplane licenses too, but I only fly professionally as a helicopter. So.
Do you fly every day?
I fly pretty much every day. I land at the heliport down there right near where you guys are daily. So.
Where is the heliport near us?
Yeah, nobody knows it's there. It's right near the Nat Stadium on the south side of the South Capitol Street Bridge.
Okay. Interesting. All right. Well, listen, John, we appreciate it. It's a terrible, terrible tragedy. Appreciate your insight, though. Be safe out there, man. If these stats are real, man, you might be due.
Oh, don't say that.
No, it's a...
How can you tell him that?
Yeah. Well, you should be aware.
Well, he says he is.
Those stats seem outrageous.
He's not even denying it.
But you feel comfortable every time you go up. You're very confident.
Absolutely. You have to be.
What is the backup? Like, let's say if you have an engine problem, do most helicopters have two engines? I'm guessing no.
Most helicopters are single engine. I would say 90% of them, maybe 80%, and then the rest of them are twins.
So if you have an engine problem on a single-engine helicopter, you're pretty much your poop right there.
Boned.
Right?
That's not true either. You can land a helicopter without an engine, but the problem
just
is...
You glide it in.
It's auto-rotation,
Mm-hmm. What's auto-rotation?
Oh, my gosh. So basically, the air going up through the rotor... when the engine quits, keeps it spinning to the ground. So.
You gotta hope it's windy. So that
hey, John, every movie I've seen, it seems like if that little tiny rotor on the back gets clipped, then you're just doomed. Is that the case? Or have I watched too many movies?
The tail rotor, that's a pretty rough emergency. There are procedures to follow, but that's a tough one.
Yeah,
that
the tail rotor goes, man. It's pretty much sayonara. Wow.
All right. Not always, but it's a tough one.
Yeah.
All right. Well, be safe out there, John.
Yeah. Okay, guys. Take care.
All right. Thank you, buddy.
Well, the only way I would ever be in a helicopter is if I was medevac.
Right. Right. If you're already in really bad shape, I'm with you.
There's just no
totally
way
with
I
you.
Would ever hop.
Like
in
if I ever go to Hawaii, which I probably will at some point, but it's not on the immediate horizon.
I will.
There's no chance that I'm getting up in a whirlybird and flying over top of like active volcanoes.
Nope.
No.
That is not going to happen. Nope. Never in a billion years.
Yeah,
you.
I did it.
You're risking it.
Like if I go to the Grand Canyon,
Case goes to Kiowa every summer. He's not going to Hawaii. There's no poker room in Hawaii.
It's true. It's
very
good.
He said that.
I know. If I go to the Grand Canyon, I will step out and look over the edge. But
oh, you will? I won't do that.
Sure, but I will not
get in Grand Canyon.
I will not get in something with rotors flying around and have some guy who's has 20 hours of flight experience whizzing me around the Grand Canyon.
Right.
20 hours. I'm just not going to do it.
Oh yeah,
my life is
some
too
local guy
valuable.
Built a helicopter out of the back of a Rolling Stone,
right.
Flying you
no,
around.
No, thank you.
Yeah,
some fly by night operation.
Hey, how many years have you been going to Kiowa?
I don't know. It's like 25 some years.
He's not going anywhere else. He's locked in. He's locked in.
He started going before he was married.
Hey, I'm going to Spain in a few months. So you Ricky's can just...
Because your son is there.
If your kids drag you. Right.
Let's Brendan play for Chaminade. You're not
JP,
going to Hawaii.
You guys don't go anywhere. He goes to the Bahamas all the time. You don't go anywhere.
I travel all over the country.
Okay, all over the country.
I've
been to basically all the spots you've been to, and then some in this country.
So you're giving him the face.
I love my vacation, but at some point, maybe I'll go to Hawaii at some point or travel around the world. Who knows?
That's fine.
I'll do it on my time. My time.
What do you mean?
I'll do it whenever I
retire.
Feel like it's time to do it.
When it's appropriate.
Sure.
Right.
I will never go to Hawaii. Never.
I went to Hawaii, and I'd love to go back. It's just a long trip, but I'd love to do it.
Yeah, I mean, if I could snap my fingers.
But you break it up.
If I could snap my fingers and be there, but I'm never getting into a plane for 10 hours. Won't do
it.
It's
not going to happen. 10 hours. You just fly to L.A.
I did it all the couple days there from Europe, yeah. And I'll never do it again.
Yeah.
Never.
So are you never going to Australia?
Oh, you couldn't. You'd have to pay me $50,000 to go to Australia.
Just remember, really? Yeah. He also said he'd never go back to the Bahamas.
That's true.
Twice. Yeah, I mean, come on.
Okay, but that wasn't because of the flight.
Yeah.
That's because I got my ass kicked.
Just because of the cost. Yeah. Too.
But there's no way your boy is getting into a plane for 10 hours ever again. Won't do it.
Yeah. But you go to Hawaii, break it up. You go 6 hours to L.A., stay there for a couple of days, then you go to Hawaii. Then it's 6 hours.
Yeah, I won't, but I get the math.
You could.
What if you play golf at their best golf course? Your boy who takes you to Pebble.
You play like Wailea.
Mm-mm.
One of those sillies.
No, Kapalua.
I don't need to play there.
Yeah. No, you don't need to play
there.
Yeah,
you play
Pebble. Although,
you
get those trade winds behind you, hit a 400-yard drive, you'll right. Be sized. Believe me, I did it.
Trade winds.
Trade winds get behind you, drive, and you can hit one four bills.
Hope that trade winds swirl. Yeah. Like,
it's not worth flying.
That didn't help
on
when you four-putted.
No, it didn't help my putting or chipping, but I was hitting some bombs in Maui. I promise you that.
Yeah, then that other nine into the trade winds probably dicey.
Yeah.
All right, got to take a break. Phone number's 800-636-1067. When we come back, we'll dive into the Redskins. I know that Peter King was speculating about how the Redskins could remake their franchise if they actually traded the number 2 pick. So we'll find out what the rumors are from Craig Hoffman, a Redskins beat reporter, next here on the Junkies.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. We'll talk some puck coming up at 8:45. Lars Eller joins us. Center ice with Lars Eller. Caps coming off a win, their first game in the second half of the season. But join us right now to talk a little Redskins and Super Bowls. Craig Hoffman, our Redskins beat reporter. He is...
in Miami?
In Miami, I believe. Unless he's like the Junkies and in some sort of suburb.
Yeah, are you in like Hialeah or some far-flung suburb of Miami?
No, I am in Midtown Miami right now. So I'm doing just fine locale-wise.
Very good.
Nice.
Kind of give us the scene down there. Did you get there last night or...
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to really take in the scene yet because I got in yesterday afternoon late and saw a friend of mine that lives down here last night. So the scene picks up today. After I'm done with you guys, I'll head over to Radio Row, and you know, I haven't been there in the past. It's a zoo. You know, it's kind of wild because you have all the radio stations, but then you just have like all these random celebrities and players and former players walking around. I know you guys, I'm sure, have done it in the past too. It's crazy kind of how just surreal that place is, because you're just in a convention hall. It's not like you're in somewhere cool. You're in a convention hall, and all of a sudden it's, oh, there's Joe Montana, there's, you know, Jerry Rice, there's whoever, and they're there hawking some product getting interviewed by every station in the country.
No, we've done it a dozen times.
Yeah, we've been to 10 or 12.
And I remember the last time the Super Bowl was in Miami, we were there.
We were there.
What I remember is that street, and I don't remember what it was. I don't think it was A1A, but whatever it was, where all the restaurants were. And that's where everybody was hanging out at night, right? Remember just that long street?
Yeah, it's like it's like right where the Clevelander is.
Yeah, that is A1A.
I think it is A1A.
Yeah, maybe it is.
Yeah, that is A1A.
There's a ton of stuff down there, yeah.
Yeah, and I'll be down there for sure later today and tonight taking it all in. So there's a lot to take in down here, that's for sure.
Just don't do what the Junks did and fall prey to the huckster that's on the sidewalk saying, hey, come on in and eat this meal. Check it out. And we're like, oh, that looks great.
That first guy doing it?
We went to the first restaurant, like a bunch of lemmings. We were stupid.
Yeah, I'll have to trust some vets. I got a bunch of friends who spend a lot more time down here than me. And,
Very good.
I'll follow them.
Lean
I'll follow
on
them for tonight.
Yes.
All right, so I don't know. Give us kind of the latest. Have they had any hirings here in the last week or so? I know eventually I want to get into the draft pick here and some of the rumblings around the number two pick. But what has been sort of the latest in the last week or so in terms of like hiring and bringing people in?
Yeah, they brought in two guys last week. Neither are like really that notable. One was an assistant D-line coach, and the other was a guy who was with Ron in Carolina and kind of director of player performance. Is the title, but basically he's going to be a guy who looks at a bunch of analytics in the weight room and on the field, like all their GPS tracking, and he'll work in conjunction with Ryan Vermillion, the head athletic trainer, and Chad Englehart, the strength coach. You technically report to Ryan, but he'll work with Chad, who's really good with data as well, and those guys will help in the weight room. But that's kind of the biggest the hiring news. The biggest thing right now is just figuring out what's going on with contracts of guys that you may or may not bring back. And, first thing first is probably Brandon Sheriff. You got to decide whether or not you want to franchise him. And the latest rumblings on that was that they're definitely considering it. If they can't come to a long-term deal, but bringing Sheriff back is a huge priority for them, as it should be. He's a terrific player.
Would he be happy with that? Would he be happy with a franchise tag?
I don't think any player is ever happy with a franchise tag, unless, like, there are some that have figured it out. Like, Kirk figured it out. Like, hey, this is a pretty good deal. I get a ton of money, and I'm a free agent again, and I get more leverage next year and all that. But for a guy like Brandon, who's had the injury history he's had, hurt the last couple of years, you want that long-term security. You want a 4 or 5 year deal that's really a 3 year deal, but ultimately is going to set you up for a long time. Financially guaranteed, and it doesn't matter what happens to your value the next couple of years, you're locked in at those prices. So I think for him, he'd probably not be too thrilled about it, even if he does get that large chunk of change in 2020. I think he'd probably want to come to some kind of long-term deal because, with Kirk, like, he's a quarterback. Yeah, quarterbacks, of course, get hurt, but they typically come back and they're fine. And obviously, Kirk didn't miss a game as a starter while he was here. He didn't miss one until they benched him for the final game this year, sat him and the rest of the starters for the final game this year in Minnesota. So the durability stuff isn't as big of a concern for him. We're an offensive lineman, and your body starts to deteriorate quick, and you wonder about your value moving forward. For Sheriff, this might be as high as his value ever is.
So Craig, I don't know if you know the answer to this, but what are some of the other internal changes, like within the building, has Rivera made? Are there any?
Yeah, there are. I mean, the big one that got out was the pool table or the ping pong table being gone. Right. And then that caused a mock outrage internet debate, which I thought it was an interesting choice because, basically his reasoning was that he doesn't want any distractions. He wants the guys to spend time with each other. But in the Redskins locker room last year, the place that people spent the most time with each other was the ping pong table. And, like, pointing that out made me some kind of, like, insane person who didn't get football, which is always fun because the internet's the best. But I just think it's an interesting thing. And I think he's kind of in the mindset of, hey, let's take some of the extraneous stuff away. We can always add it back. You can't really take it away. You don't want to be in the the business of like, all right, I'm taking away your choice. Like, you're not babysitting. You can always give guys a little bit more freedom once you get to know them a little bit. So I think that's, I'm sure there are other changes around the building that have happened, but they've been pretty tight-lipped about them. When you start to ask about those kinds of things, like, yeah, we've changed some stuff. We don't really want to make it public yet, but they haven't, you know, and the players obviously haven't largely been in the building, so it's harder to ask them about those kinds of stuff. But there have been changes, and I think there will be more changes to things like schedules and all that kind of stuff, but those aren't public at this time and haven't been talked about behind the scenes either.
Yeah.
What about the Trent situation? Any rumblings there?
Nothing yet. I still don't think there's been contact. I'm pretty sure I would know if there's been, you know, one of those sides that would get out for sure. And if there was contact, but I just don't think that's happened yet. I think they've got other things they're prioritizing in terms of not necessarily that they're prioritizing other players over Trent, but I think the big thing they've been focused on the last couple of weeks as a staff is, oh crap, we got to evaluate every single player on this roster. And that includes Trent. And then I think once they kind of have their evaluation set and kind of figure out the timeline of what they feel like strength wise is good on their roster, what they feel like they need to, have moving forward, and where Trent's kind of priority lies, in terms of like what he wants, but like where is Trent Williams coming back on their list of priorities and what they need, then they'll reach out and start to really mend that relationship. I wouldn't surprise me if there's been some minor communication. Ron is clearly spoken highly of Trent and knows what he is on some level as a player, and I'd assume that they've already made an evaluation on that. But they, as far as I know, haven't connected yet, but that is definitely on their list, probably somewhere below Sheriff and you know, above guys like Josh Norman figuring it out.
All right, I want to get into the draft. We're talking to Craig Hoffman, our beat reporter for the Skins. He's in Miami. So for the draft, is Ron Rivera making the draft pick, or is it Kyle Smith?
So it essentially is both, and I know everyone hates that answer. Kyle is the one who is in charge of the draft board and is the VP of player personnel now. You know, he's got a director who used to be his assistant director who got elevated and is going to be working that part as well. But I would assume that, especially this year, Kyle is really going to be in charge of the draft board because for 9 months he was at the head of that process as director of college scouting. So ultimately what happens is over the next couple of months, the college scouts are working, the pro scouts are actually spend after free agency some time working on the college guys as well. And then the coaching staff all makes their evaluations of the college guys. And so you start with the college scouts board, and then the coaches have the ability to say, hey, like, I really like this guy. Can we move him up? And then they have a discussion. And eventually what you get is the board dictating what the pick is, unless something happens like last year where ownership comes in and says, this is the pick. I don't care what your stupid board says. And that's what happened with Dwayne in the first round last year. He was not the highest player on their board, and they wanted a quarterback, did ownership, which is their right to say, hey, we're trying to plan long-term here for the franchise. I would like a quarterback. Please take the quarterback. And so they took the quarterback. But outside of something like that happening, it is the board, which is set over the period of months, that dictates the draft pick. Kyle has the biggest influence on that board and ultimately I think is the one that sets it. But Ron's got the most power in the organization. If Ron says, no, that guy's above that guy,
yeah,
Kyle doesn't really have any repercussions. So in that way, it's Ron, but really it is a giant process that happens and everyone makes their arguments and you know, I guess Ron has the final say, or Dan has the final say, but yeah. Ron's got the final say, but Kyle's got the biggest influence. And I think that Ron would not have approved the elevation of Kyle to the new position if he didn't trust Kyle's judgment and didn't think he did a good job. So I think Kyle has the biggest influence.
Do you get any sense of where they're leaning in terms of keeping the pick and maybe trading out and trying to add some picks? Like the conventional wisdom is it would take 3 ones to get him out of there.
Yeah, I think it's too early for that just because I don't think another team is going to tip their hand this early in the process. No one is making offers right now. So it's impossible to know. You know, it's one thing to be like, yeah, I wouldn't do that. You know, or, you know, we can come up with like all these stupid sports radio bets. Oh, would you do that thing for $1 billion? It's like, no, you couldn't buy me. Well, if $1 billion is sitting in front of you, are you really going to say no? You know, and so it's that kind of thing where, you know, until we get later and some of these potential offers become real, I don't think that they're going to ever say, like, yeah, we're thinking about trading the pick. Hey, come with your best offer. It's going to take the team blowing their doors off to get them away.
Who are likely to be the players? Maybe a Miami, maybe a Chargers teams that need a quarterback?
Yeah, and I think Miami's always the one to watch because they've got three first-rounders. And so you give up two of those, you switch it 5 and 2, give up either 18, I think it's 18 and 25. Yeah. You give up one of those and maybe a future
18 to 26.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of deal where you could get it done because, you know, Chase Young's incredible, but so is Isaiah Simmons. So is Grant Delpit. So is Jeff Okuda. You know, and those are positions of need for this team. They need another linebacker. They need a safety. They need a corner. And so if you can, you know, if you can guarantee yourself that you're going to get one of those guys or Chase Young at 5 and get recoup picks in a draft where you've already given up your 2 because you wanted to trade up for Montez Sweat last year, then I think you have to at least consider it. It's going to also depend on, as they go through this process, what does Jack Del Rio and what does Ron Rivera think of Chase Young? If they think that dude's, you know, the next Von Miller, mm-hmm. and there's just nothing that can move them off of him as they go through their draft process, which they still haven't started because they've been evaluating the Redskins roster, then that price goes up or maybe is non-existent. But I think it's just too early right now to know. But those are the kinds of guys they'd be looking at, you know, long-term if they do decide to move the pick, and that's the kind of, you're right, you know, 3 ones or 2 ones and a 2 in a future, whatever. Like, those are the kinds of things that could actually move them off to if such a deal was going to happen.
Yeah, it's going to be all interesting. Right.
I actually hope they move it and add more pieces.
Really?
I
think those 3 number ones.
Yeah, I just think that would be
nice.
Huge. Yeah, I've come around on
that. Yeah, I'm not anti that. Everyone wants to just yell at you if you don't just say take Chase Young, but, you know, as great as Chase Young could potentially be, one player, unless it's a quarterback, is not changing your franchise. If you truly want to change your franchise, go get Grant Delpit, playmaking safety, to pair with Landon Collins. And, you know, the kid out of Clemson, T. Higgins, at wide receiver at 26, or whoever it is. Like, go get multiple playmakers that can shape your franchise moving forward and can be Rivera's guys moving forward and kind of be the young core with, you know, Haskins and McLaurin and Cole Holcomb. That can change your franchise. Chase Young would push you massively in the right direction, but he is but one dude.
Well, like you said, it just you have to have the offer. There's got to be a guy out there that wants to trade up to that spot and is willing to offer all those picks. So it's going to be interesting. I think a lot has to do with the way Tua looks once he's finally close to 100% and throwing and these teams can see him. Because if he's not, then, you know, the Dolphins may pass on him and they may take Herbert and then the Chargers may take, you know, someone else. And you don't have the leverage you might have thought you had at number 2.
Right. Yeah, you need someone to follow. The best thing that can happen to them too is to you know, just blowing people away in interviews and you know, where some team just goes, we got to get him.
Right.
Kind of like the Giants did last year with Daniel Jones, where they were terrified of someone else taking him. They took him at 6, even though no one else was probably going to take him that high. Like, you need a team that just feels like if we don't take him, if we don't get to 2, then we lose him. Like, we screwed up our franchise for a decade.
Right.
That's what the Redskins need, because that's the only type of team that's going to make a trade, a la the Redskins with RG3 and 12, where you give up the 3 first-rounders.
Craig, we got to run. Enjoy your time in Miami. We'll talk to you again soon.
Sounds good, boys. Thank you.
That's Craig Hoffman, Skins reporter for 106.7 The Fan. Now is the best time to replace your windows to improve the comfort of your home and help lower heating bills. Thompson Creek Designs builds and installs replacement windows direct from their own factory without the middleman markup, because those are Arctic. Don't miss Thompson Creek's incredible winter window sale with $200 off every window, plus zero interest financing until August 2021. You get more for your money at Thompson Creek. Call 855-57-CREEK now or check them out online at thompsoncreek.com for more details.
This Nadal team match is unbelievable. It's tied. So they're in a tiebreaker in the fourth. Team won the first two sets, 7-6, 7-6, lost the third, 6-4. 6-6 in the fourth. team up 3-2 in the tiebreak.
He still wears the tanks. He still wears the no sleeves.
Yeah, he's shown his guns.
There's a lot of tennis nerds in this vicinity.
Well, I've got...
I used to be one. I don't play anymore.
Okay, because I've got team plus 4.5 games. So unless he gets smoked in the fifth, I should be fine. Yes.
The peanut gallery in here is telling everyone it's time, not theme.
Whatever.
But, I mean, I saw them huddled in during one of the breaks.
No, it's not thyme. It's team, like T-E-A-M.
They keep saying time.
Who?
Who's saying that?
Adam and Drab.
Well, you trust Adam doesn't know how to speak, and Adam's stupid.
It's not.
I always thought that it was like the song.
You was Rose, always thought.
I always thought it was.
You know, I can't listen to him.
Yeah, Rosemary
seriously.
And time.
Don't you have the audio on in there? The sound up. Aren't they saying team when they're talking?
Drab's doing a quick check.
I'm almost 100%
like
it's team.
Wustheisen. Yeah.
But Valdez over here, he's calling it theme.
It's definitely not theme.
I don't know. I don't care.
All I know is Drab and Adam aren't correct ever on pronunciation.
Right.
They're never on the right side.
Wustheisen.
Yeah. Now, Wustheisen, well, I mean, that's a clear.
Everybody knows that.
Yeah. They just Americanized that.
You think Valdez can lift more than Nadal? Valdez is saying he's got a better body than Nadal.
I didn't say I have a better body. I said I can lift more weight.
But he's stronger than him. He might be stronger than him.
That's absurd to say he's got a better body.
I did not say that. I said I can lift more than him.
Is that Drab making stuff up again?
Yes.
I mean, what is
Drab being a liar?
Thing in there? What's going on?
It's always a lifting thing.
Because
all they're doing is talking about how sculpted he is and how they wish they had his abs and biceps.
But you shoot back. I have more mass.
I said I can lift more than him.
Yeah.
But he's got no definition.
Who?
Valdez.
Yeah, right.
I know.
I know. I would agree with you, Adam.
This is Matt Valdez.
Neither do you.
I'm not saying I'm an Adonis like Nadal. I'm saying I can lift more than him.
Yeah. You're just trying to have one up on
him. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's one scoreboard. Spot where you're better.
I want scoreboard over a silly athlete.
Right, at least got that on him. What do you got on him, Adam?
On Bangladesh chicks?
On Nadal.
Nothing, but Nadal speaks English as a second language, and he probably speaks it better than Valdez.
Right, and you.
You're joning, and you just
and
said.
You. I was
yeah,
thinking,
I was.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I'm going on the record saying Valdez can't outlift Nadal.
I'm going to say benching. Yeah, I'm sure he could.
Look at those biceps. Valdez has got these nubs short arms.
Yeah, that makes it great for benching. Makes it great for bench.
Nadal on TV looks bigger than what you'd think. It's like a lot of NBA players. Sometimes I'll see them on TV, and then in person, their body fat is so low that the muscles look bigger.
Yeah, they're so
skinny. But he's probably not lifting that much.
Now, he could run and play tennis for 10 hours straight.
Right, right. Yeah, I can't do that.
Valdez can get tired running to the refrigerator.
Valdez also has bird legs.
Okay. Oh, he's got real skinny legs.
Yes. Why so much grilling, Valdez?
There's a lot of grilling going on.
You got man boobs. Why
I'm grilling him.
Yeah.
You're lashing out.
Because he sits in here and talks about how great his body is compared to Adam. And
what do you talk about? What's great for you?
My paycheck over Valdez.
With paycheck scoreboard?
How much bigger is it? How much bigger is it?
Probably slightly.
Yeah. That's it? That's all
Nominal.
You got? You don't have anything else? I thought you were a butt guy. I thought you were big on your butt.
Oh, my butt pummels, Valdez. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Even with the scars and everything.
Oh, you have... What happened to
your
butt?
Scars?
I forgot. Oh, you fell like...
Remember I fell in the shower and it ruined my
money maker. Were you drunk or something?
Your money maker.
What happened?
No, I wasn't drunk. I was sitting in the shower.
Wow. Yeah.
And what happened?
I put my hand on the soap dish and it exploded off the wall and all these shards went
lost
into my
his
butt.
Balance.
Why are you using the soap dish as support?
It was bad judgment.
And so it ruined your money maker?
Yes. Remember I got all these stitches in my butt?
I mean, vaguely.
Yeah.
Do you want to have a butt contest? Will you post a pic next to Valdez's?
Again, mine is ruined.
Oh, really? You think you would lose now?
Yes.
Ruined. Definitely ruined.
It's ruined.
It's ruined.
It's ruined.
You ruined it.
Right. They all just try to one-up each other.
Oh, yeah.
That's all it is.
Yeah. So you don't even have that anymore. You just have to go to paycheck.
Yeah, I guess.
It's like $15 more.
Yeah, right. By the way, I have no idea whether Valdez has bird legs or not. I'm going to guess he doesn't.
Yeah,
he doesn't strike me as a guy that has bird legs.
No, he's a big guy.
I mean, take off my pants if I had underwear on.
No, he does. He kind of does.
All right, let me give you an abbreviated Junkies Blitz. Just a couple sports stories. Rob Gronkowski weighed in on Tom Brady. Not that it means anything. He believes that Brady should go and see what's out there. I think that there's more and more thought that he's going to hit free agency, and the Patriots aren't going to give him that huge contract offer that's going to prevent him from going to free agency. So it'd be interesting. I forget who mentioned Tampa yesterday, but yeah, it'd be a great fit in Tampa.
I think that Bob Kraft, at the end of the day, is going to write him a check, and he's going to keep him. I really do.
Not if Bill Belichick says, need to move on.
Yeah, but Kraft is above Belichick.
He's the owner.
I think that he's going to end up in New England. I'll just be stunned if he's not.
By the way, Junkies Blitz brought to you by the Purple Heart Foundation, honoring their sacrifice with our service to help our military veterans. Visit DonatePurpleHeart.org.
I also thought LeBron was staying in Cleveland.
Right.
And didn't think he was going to Lakers. So.
And you thought he was staying in Cleveland before he went to Miami.
I can't remember that, but I do remember the second time.
I thought this was interesting. Tyreek Hill said he'd like to see if he could qualify for the 2020 Olympics. It's coming to, I think, Tokyo.
Is he the guy that just got pulled over with the weed
and
everything?
No, it's Kareem Hunt.
That's Kareem Hunt.
I'm getting them all confused.
Yeah. Tyreek Hill is their speed demon wide receiver. Now, he said when he was in high school, he weighed 20 pounds less. He was 175 pounds, but he ran a 9.9 in the 100 yard.
Meter. What are those guys running though? Like they're running about like 9.7s. Are they?
It's like 110 yards.
And I know that like Ben Johnson was on steroids and stuff, but what are the clean runners?
What
presumably,
the
what did Bolt run? Did he run like a 9.5?
No.
Didn't Bolt run like a 9.5?
I think it was pretty close to that.
I think he did.
Let's see, current world.
I think
record.
Bolt ran something like a 9.5 something. Like something you can't even comprehend.
Let's see, 9.58.
Yeah.
That's the current world record.
9.9 is nubs compared to 9.5.
That was 10 years ago.
Same stratosphere.
Yeah. You're slow. Yeah. You're slow.
9.58 is just
no, I annoyed.
Yeah.
Yo, if I were the Chiefs, I would say, you know what? Not crazy about you running the Olympics. How about you go to training camp instead of the Olympics?
Okay, that would be the summer, and maybe they're not in camp. What if it's just a week off, Cakes?
Prime hammy pulling.
Yeah, I'm not a big, yeah. Just like... I'm a fan of Raheem Mostert has a no extraordinary sports clause in his contract. Can't surf. Grew up surfing. Can't surf now.
Grew up surfing?
I like that.
He grew up in California? Or
he's
Florida?
A Florida guy.
Florida.
Yeah. Right.
What if we negotiated our next contract and there was a no poker playing
clause?
Would that be a deal breaker?
JP, in the business world, that's called a non-starter.
Right.
Yeah, you just don't. That's
but what if it's just determined, you know, that it's not the healthiest atmosphere to just sit at a poker table for hours.
Doesn't matter.
Hours.
It's hurting your show prep.
Yeah, you're taking away my ability to earn money, and I wouldn't stand for that.
Even though the money you're making here is 100 times more.
You're eliminating my side hustle,
right?
And okay. I need all the side hustle. You have your NBC Sports Washington side hustle. I've got my poker side hustle. So, I'm protecting that.
It's a non-negotiable. Well, I would give up my side hustle if the radio station
it's
said
also,
you can't do it.
It's also something I enjoy doing.
I understand. That's why it's a fun hypothetical.
All right, it's stupid. What's the next story?
There is no next story.
We gotta
go break.
That's it? We got a break. I know later in the show, I prepared a couple of categories of top five. We are giving away tickets to XFL because after the Super Bowl,
that's right.
The next week, the XFL is teeing it up. So we're going to do that coming up at 9:30 on the show. We've got Gronkowski. We've got Bruce Gradkowski joining us on the show.
Got 9 o'clock. Yep.
So we will talk some Super Bowl with him and Lars Eller coming up the next hour at 8:45, all right here on the Junkies.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.